Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can gather this midweek, this Wednesday, Lord. We can gather here in your name and look to your word, Lord God. We ask that you would be the teacher, Lord, and you would speak to us through your word, and Lord, your Holy Spirit would minister to each and every one of us. You know exactly where we're at tonight and what we're going through, and Lord, you're the only one. You are the only one that can bring peace and comfort unto us. You can also bring correction into our lives, Lord. We're thankful for that because that just tells us that you do love us. Jesus, we want to remember our pastor right now, Lord, as he's traveling back. I pray, Lord God, that he would have sufficient room on the plane, him and his wife, Lord, they can stretch out and get rested, Lord, long journey back. I pray, Father, that it would be fruitful, Lord, all the work they've done over there in India. Lord, we truly do miss him, and we ask, Father, that he would just be refreshed for this Sunday, Lord, and be prepared. But now, Lord, we look to you that you would just guide us and direct us through your word. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, some of you may not know me. My name is Mario Canito. I'm one of the assistant pastors here. And before you sit down and get all comfortable, why don't you greet each other? Okay? Take a moment. Greet each other. All right, now that you got that out of you, why don't we stand up and read God's word? Let's go to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. I've titled this, Learning from Defeat. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 29. And we're just going to read the first two verses. Everybody there? Yeah, a couple people. I hear pages turning. They say, yeah, but there's pages turning. Okay, if you have the Holy Bibles on page 253, okay? All right, Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 says, Now the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as a booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Amen. Please have a seat. Learning from defeat. You know, I believe that every single one of us makes mistakes in life. We all have made mistakes. We've made some really big mistakes. We've made small mistakes. We've made mistakes that we wish we could have taken, we could take back. But obviously we can't. So what is it that we do with those failures, with those mistakes? What do we do after the fact? You know, we all need to learn from the mistakes, and we need to grow. Remember, losing a battle doesn't determine the outcome of a war. Again, if we're going to have victory, we need to learn from our defeats. We need to learn from our mistakes, and we certainly need to learn from our sins. So this is really where we find Joshua in this chapter. In the previous chapter, there was unconfessed sin, and it caused them to be defeated in the battle of Ai. Now, in this chapter, they have to pick up the pieces and begin to move forward. You know, and this is probably one of the most difficult things to do for any of us. I would say, especially for a man, because his pride gets hurt. He's rattled. He begins to question everything. We beat ourselves up, and it's like, man, what a dummy. Why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. You know, if I could have only done this instead of that. But that's after the fact. You know, we're dealing with the guilt after we fall to sin. We're dealing with the guilt that comes from being defeated. You know, and one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to forgive yourselves. The Lord has forgiven us and he's removed us. He's wiped the slate clean. But man, we continue to beat ourselves up. We continue to be guilt-ridden. And it's one of the hardest things to do, is to forgive ourselves. So Joshua had led his battle, he had led this army into battle to fight Jericho. And he did it in faith. But this wasn't the case in Ai. You know, there was specific instructions when they went into Jericho. Basically, the booty belonged to the Lord, and they weren't supposed to take anything from it. But that isn't what happens. Why don't you turn back with me? Go back to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. And yes, we're going to do a lot of reading tonight. So Joshua 6, 18 and 19 says, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So really, all the trophies, everything really belonged to the Lord in that battle. But there was a man named Achan. And what did he do? He took of the accursed things. He took war trophies for himself. Israel had committed a trespass. And they went into the following battle of Ai. And really, you can say they went into battle in sin. Sin was present, and it cost them not only the battle, but it cost them 36 lives. They had sent spies into Ai. And when they had come back from Ai, basically in their self-confidence, the spies reported to Joshua, "Hey, we got this. Don't worry about it. They're nothing. We can take them. We can handle them. They're just a bunch of pushovers. You know what? In fact, just send a small group because we got this." We always have to remember that pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Starting in verse 1, Joshua 7, it says this, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not worry. Do not worry all the people, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up from there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate of Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So what happened? They failed miserably. They didn't realize there was sin in the camp. Sin can really affect to the furthest places of the camp. They failed miserably here. They had won the battle in Jericho, and here they go to Ai, and they're running home. They're running home. Their sin and the lack of seeking the Lord. You notice we read there, they didn't consult the Lord. They basically said, "I got this. I can handle this. I can do this." It cost them dearly. So they are now the ones that are defeated. After the Lord reveals the sin of Achan, They have to deal with the sin. In Joshua chapter 7, let's jump up to verse 10, okay? And I'm just kind of laying this out for you. We'll eventually get into chapter 8. But Joshua 7:10 says this, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you.'" You gotta deal with the sin. You have to deal with the sin. So we see that they were defeated, and they had to get right with the Lord. Why? Because there was sin. Sin in the camp. They needed to destroy the accursed from among them. But once they dealt with the sin, then they would be able to move forward. So Achan was judged, and Israel was restored, and they had the favor of the Lord once more. Much like we need to repent when we fall to sin. We need to deal with the sin quickly. We need to repent and ask for forgiveness so that the Lord can restore us. Sometimes individuals just kind of take it lighthearted. Oh, well, you know, it's not that big deal. No. Sin can really affect, and really affects those that you love. So they now have to learn from this defeat. You know, and there's truly great lessons that are learned from our defeats, from our failures. But we must move on. We have to grow from these experiences. We need to learn to be obedient and to trust in the Lord and in the Lord alone. Some individuals seem like they can never get over it. They continue to carry the baggage of whatever sin. The Lord's forgiven you. We need to move on. We need to move forward. Not dwell in the past. And that's one of the big lessons that they had to learn here. So the 3 points of this study, okay? If you're taking notes, the first point is a second chance. Real simple. A second chance, a new beginning, is point number one. Point number two is a different tactic, and that's verses 3 through 13. And then the last one is victory in Ai, is verses 14 through 29. Now, as we get into the first point, a second chance and a new start, that's verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 again says, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land.'" Now, we got to take note here. It starts with now. Now. This is because the sin has been dealt with. Once the sin has been dealt with, now the Lord could begin to speak to Joshua again. Joshua can now hear the Lord. That line of communication is open between the Lord and Joshua, and Joshua and the Lord. There is no now if there's sin in our lives. So now it says now. So over the years, I think about this. I started thinking about individuals that profess to be Christians, but yet they live in sin. They're out there getting drunk, they're partying, they're in places they shouldn't be, hanging out with people they shouldn't be with. They're really in direct rebellion. And yet they're praying and asking God to bless them. Think about that. They're living in sin. They may be living together, not married. I've had individuals that just come up to me and say, "Pastor, you know, can you bless our home?" And I'm like scratching my head. "Can we dedicate our baby?" You know, I ask myself, how is this supposed to happen? How is it that God can bless them if they're in direct disobedience to God's word? How are we to receive direction and or instruction from the Lord when we are being disobedient? When we're in sin? Let me share this with you. It's not going to happen. We cannot receive God's blessings if we're in sin. What He, the Lord, wants for us is to get right with Him. Repentance. To get back in line with His plan, with His will, not my will. We're not to give up walking. We're not to give up and walk away from when the Lord brings something to our attention, when He rebukes us and corrects us. We're to repent. Repentance is a change of direction. We can feel bad and we can get all mopey-dopey and not change things. That isn't repentance. I feel bad about what I did, but I don't feel so bad that I'm going to change. That isn't repentance. We are to repent and ask for forgiveness and really begin to walk with the Lord once again. So He says here, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." This is exactly what happens after we really receive a beat down, if you will. We get a scared, okay? We get a scared. Why? Because defeats and setbacks can really make us afraid, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So, we're afraid. It's the fear that causes us not to trust the Lord. Dismayed is how we feel. Distressed, disappointed, distraught. You know, and this is due to the fact that, what? We keep looking back to our past failures. So we get discouraged. He's reminding Joshua when he says, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed," of what the Lord had already said to Joshua. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." But yet we get all mopey-dopey. We may get mopey-dopey, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're not repenting. You're just feeling bad about what you've done, but you don't change direction. The Lord is trying to encourage Joshua. He's speaking with him. He even does this, you know, he speaks to us. It may not be in an audible voice, but it's through His Word. It's through the Holy Spirit as He directs us. We see that he receives direction from the Lord once again. He says, "Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai." We see a new plan. Take all the people of war with you. Not some, but all. To me, that speaks of unity. We all walk together. We're to progress. We need to go forward. "And arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." God's saying, basically, this is my plan. This is how we are going to win the victory. This is how it's going to get done. Remember what had happened when Joshua listened to the spies. That's man. Man's opinions. Man's thoughts. No, it's okay, really? To begin to listen to individuals rather than to listen to God, we are going to be led astray. It has to be the Lord's plan, not ours, and not someone else's plan. Verse 2, it says, "And you shall And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle. You shall take as booty for yourselves, lay an ambush for the city behind it. You shall do to Ai and its kings as you did to Jericho and its king. Why? Because the Lord is in it now. You know, I would say at this point, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. The Lord's speaking to me. He's given me direction. He's setting me on a new path, giving me a new plan. This means what? I'm forgiven. That means I'm forgiven. These words really should be motivating and encouraging not only to Joshua, but even unto us. They were forgiven the moment that they dealt with sin. And we need to understand that. The moment we deal with sin and we repent, we're forgiven. The Lord can begin to speak to us again. So we see that God has a plan, and the Lord is faithful. He keeps His promises. Even when we fail Him, He forgives us if we repent. He gives us a second chance. And not just a second chance, but a third, a fourth, a fifth. And it continues. He truly is the God not only of second chances, but really the God of a new beginning, of a new start. And that can be tonight. That could be for you this evening. That, you know, that is what the Lord does. You know, I need you to understand this. The Lord is in the business of restoration. He restores. He takes those things that are broken down, that nobody wants. No one sees the potential in them. But He does. He sees that potential. Funny, you know, a lot of times we give up on individuals because we may not see the potential in them. I've heard people say, well, you know, they'll never be saved. They're so bad, they'll never be saved. They're too far gone. No, that guy, no, forget that guy. It ain't going to happen. How can he ever be restored if he fell? But you don't understand what she's done. It doesn't matter. The Lord doesn't give up on us. The Lord doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on any person. He can restore us and use us to His glory. That's a great lesson. A big lesson. Well, here we see, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. You know, think about this. They just got done stoning old what's-his-face, Achan, right? For taking the spoils of war, the treasures of war, you know, because it was supposed to be given to the Lord, but he stole. Joshua 7. Look at Joshua 7, verse 19. Here we see what transpired there. Joshua 19 through 25 says, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in the tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel. And they laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You think about this. Look how far-reaching sin is and how much they had to deal with it. You know, I think, man, if Achan could have just waited, if Achan could have just put himself in check, he would have had probably this and more. Because God always wants to give us his very best. He always wants to give us our very best, his very best. But what do? We end up pushing God away. I want what I want, and I want it now. We're unwilling to wait upon the Lord. So we settle for second best, or what we think is best. But I think of Achan here. If he would have squashed his greediness and his selfishness, he could have had the Lord's blessings. This is incredible. Look how far where his greediness and selfishness brought him. Not only did it destroy him, but it destroyed his family and all his possessions. And I find it really strange. Greediness and selfishness, where it will get us. He stole these things and he couldn't even enjoy them. He had them buried under his tent. I mean, where's the satisfaction? It's not like he could go out and wear the cloak, or he can wear it in the tent because his wife might have known, hey, check it out, look what I'm wearing tonight. You know, really? He buried him. His sin affected not only his life, but his family's life. And it went so far that it affected the nation of Israel, because they lost the battle and they lost lives because of it. Again, we need to wait on the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to put the Lord first. Achan could have had so much more if he would have waited. And he missed out, I think, on the biggest thing, on God's blessings. If only we would learn to wait on the Lord rather than pushing my will. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Self-confidence is false confidence. It is reliance on self. For as much as Israel, for us, much like Israel, it's truly a false hope. For our hope and confidence needs to be on the Lord and not on anything else. Israel lost this battle because they acted in self-confidence. Remember, we got this. We don't need to send everybody. We'll just send a few. Now the shoe is on the other foot, if you will. The Lord was going to use the advantage of Ai's self-confidence. They were now experiencing self-confidence. Why? Because they had defeated Israel. Israel had come against them, and remember, they took off running. So God instructed Joshua to lay an ambush. We see that God is in control once again, giving orders as to what his plan is, and this is how it needs to be carried out. So this is how it would unfold. And to me, this really tells me we need to understand the importance of seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord daily, spending time in his word. How else are we to receive orders and instructions for the daily battle that lays before us? Every day is a battle. But are we going to walk out of the house in self-confidence and not even seek the Lord? Because that's what they did, and they lost. So here, let's continue going forward. We're going to see a different tactic here in the verses 3 through 13. Verses 3 and 4 says, "So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, 'Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready.'" So basically, what we see here is Joshua and all the people are getting up, arising to go to war, arising from defeat. We need to arise from defeat. We can't get bogged down in our past mistakes, in our sins. You know, when they do this, now they're walking in unity. They're not divided. I think I need to say this at this point here. A lot of us want to put God in a box. This is the way God operates. This is the way He's always done it. Just because He has done something a certain way, because He did it that way last time, doesn't mean that He will necessarily do it that way again. It's easy for us to get caught up in that and resist change. Sometimes we fall into the trap and we really paint ourselves as a victim. Well, that's the way we've always done it. We need to recognize. Sometimes we need to recognize it may be the Lord leading us in a different direction, implementing a new tactic, and that's what he was doing here. We see that Joshua now takes 30,000 men. Oh, and that's mighty men of valor, and he dispatches under the cover of darkness. He tells them to dig in and to wait for a signal. They lay in wait ready for the ambush. So really, they traveled 15 miles to the west, and they would be the ones responsible for going in and burning the city down. So we see a change of direction. We see a new tactic here at Ai. You can say that they're the special forces now because they're in covert operations and in the cover of darkness. But, you know, there's a big difference between this and Jericho. Remember Jericho? It was in plain daylight and they marched around. Oh, we're not going to march around? That's the way God did it last time. How come we're not going to do it that way? What, it's so easy to get caught up. That's the way we've done it. That's the way we should do it. We shouldn't change. But no, God doesn't necessarily work that way. We need to understand this. Verse 5 and 6, look what it says. "Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about. When they come out against us at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them.'" We see Joshua and his men basically obeying the Lord. Here's the plan. You guys hide out. We're going to come up at first light. They're going to see us. They're going to chase us down. You guys go in. So the trap would be sprung. They basically needed to lure them out. Ai's self-confidence was going to be used against them. This would be really their own destruction because they began to be dependent upon their past victories. Have you ever heard somebody say this? "Well, I used to do this and I used to do that and I used to..." Okay, what are you doing for the Lord now? Because people get caught up. "I used to do this, I used to do that. At the other church, I was doing this." And okay, but what are you doing now? Dependent upon past victories. Much like Israel had done. Israel had Jericho under their belt. And now, you know, they lost the first battle with Ai. Ai, the men, they had the same attitude now. "We got this. They ran from us last time." You know, as Christians, it's essential for us to determine if God is doing something new. If God is going to go in a different direction, if he's going to lead us in a different direction, you know, with a new plan, a new tactic, we cannot be the Christian or a ministry that basically falls in the rut and refuses to change because we're failing to discern that God is trying to do something new in our lives. Maybe the Lord wants to use you in a new ministry, in a different ministry. Well, I've always been in that ministry, and that's the way things are. This is the way we've done it all the time. Well, you may be the stick in the mud in your respective ministry because you're failing to hear the Lord, not wanting to change because, after all, this is the way we've always done it. You won't move and allow someone else to come in and to make the necessary changes. Well, maybe you should be serving in that ministry. Oh, no, I can't do that. No, not me. No, I can't. No, I can't see myself there. Well, are you trusting the Lord? Because the Lord sometimes wants to stretch us. Sometimes wants us to grow. Sometimes there's a need somewhere else. Oh, but we're okay over here. Think about that. Sometimes the Lord leads us in a different direction. You know, when we fail to hear the Lord, we can become a grave site. This has happened all too often. I've been quite a few places. I retired from the military after 23 years, and I've seen a lot of churches over the years, a lot of different places, and they become grave sites. You see the effects of people, their unwillingness to change and follow the Lord. They get in a rut, and it becomes a grave site. I've been to many places where there's old church buildings standing and there's no congregation. They're just old buildings. Episcopalians, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and there's others. Where these churches used to be completely full, they're shutting down because they're grave sites. Because that's the way we've always done things. We need to grow with the Lord. And sometimes he'll lead us in a different way, and that's what he's doing with them. They're excited to follow the Lord in a different direction, maybe with a new tactic. Look at verse 7 through 9. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. I love this. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. A leader always leads from the front. You know, and really this should be ringing in your ears. Jesus, being God, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. To me, this is a sign of a great leader, one that's willing to be in the trenches with you, alongside you. You're not going to do it alone. That person's going to be right there with you. The Lord is with us. Verse 10 says, then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. Another great mark, I think, of a leader here, one that gets up early, spends time with the Lord. This time, he continues to develop and understand the plan, the new tactic, the new strategy, the change in direction. You know, I see this. He's getting together even with his men. They're going to early morning Devo together. They're attending prayer time together. Why? Because they're seeking that direction from the Lord. Verses 11 through 13 says, "And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went up that night into the midst of the valley." So we see Joshua completely understands the Lord's plan. He wasn't going to allow himself to be flanked. So he placed 5,000 men to protect them from Bethel's army that lay to the northwest. You know, the Lord sometimes just wants us to be obedient, to move in the direction he's leading us, to move with the changes. And changes sometimes are hard. People resist. But if we're going to grow, we need to trust the Lord. Look at the last point here, victory in Ai, verses 14 through 29. We'll read 14 through 17. It says here, "Now it happened, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel." So we see that Bethel really was lured into this battle. They came to the city gates and they all participated in this battle. They started to really chase him down. This would be their utter destruction. Joshua chapter 12 talks about the king of Bethel would be killed, and he would be named among 31 kings that were killed in battle. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. You can say they took the bait. Hook, line, and sinker. For those of you that fish understand that. If you don't fish, really, they were really gullible. They were gullible. They were fooled into believing that they were retreating. The Lord's plan is perfect. The Lord's plan is perfect. Look at verse 18. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city." This scene reminds me of that song, "The battle belongs to the Lord." Why? Because all he's doing is stretching out this spear. The Lord is the one that's fighting. The Lord is the one that's in control. We see that Joshua really took his lessons well from Moses and from the Lord. When he had battled Amalek back in the book of Exodus, Moses is the one that held the rod of God in hand, and Joshua and Israel would prevail. Only when? When Moses' hands were lifted. You can read it in Exodus 17. So really, you see the same thing here. He told them, raise your hand with the spear. The Lord's in control. It's the Lord's plan. Look at verse 19 through 26. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel. some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. You know, I want to remind you that this was God's judgment being poured out, much like it was poured out in Jericho. This was an evil society that had rejected God's grace and his truth. They didn't want anything to do with the Lord. So now they were suffering the consequences. Verse 27 says, only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So God, we see, God allows Israel to claim the spoil here, the booty, the spoils and the trophies of war. The Lord has already received the first fruits from the battle in Jericho. So now, because the army had fought this battle, they were permitted to keep the spoils. They had earned their reward. You know, and I think of Achan. If Achan would have just given what belonged to the Lord, he would be participating in the very spoils here. He would have. Look at verses 28 and 29. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it in the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise it over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. This king was buried in a heap of stones that represented Israel's victory over Ai. Much like Achan, if you remember Achan, he was stoned. And he was buried under stones. A heap of stones were there, but that represented Israel's victory over sin. You know, sometimes we just need to set up memorials. That is what we did in the past. If we find ourselves looking to the past, there should be a memorial because we dealt with the sin. That sin has been dealt with. We have victory over that sin. We can begin to look forward. God never, ever, ever reminds us of our past. It's God's enemy that says, look what you've done. Look how you behaved. God doesn't do that. But there needs to be a memorial there. It's done. It's buried. It's behind me. God will give us victories so long as we're obedient. If we follow him and deal with the sin quickly, as quick as possible, he can restore us. We can begin to move forward. We cannot allow sin in the camp to permeate. It's when we're unwilling to deal with sin that it's going to affect others. We need to deal with the sin so it doesn't affect those that we truly love. Look at Achan's family. And all his belongings were destroyed because he couldn't put his life in check. Where are we tonight? The Lord knows. We can fool individuals. We can put on appearances. We can come to church and put on a mask, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows where we're at. We need to understand that God isn't done with us. He gives us an opportunity to deal with the sin and to move forward. Here's the application, 4 points of application. After failures, God is willing to forgive us and give us a second chance. He can give us a new beginning. Number two is, when we are defeated, when we fall to sin, we may have lost the battle, but it's not the end. It's not the end of the war. So He isn't done with us. We can still be useful and effective for the Lord. Remember that He is willing to restore us. He is willing to restore us. Three, my question is, are you willing to move forward? Are you willing to learn from your failures? Are you willing to learn from your sin? Sometimes we just need to repent. Sometimes it's time to try a new tactic, move in a different direction. That's what repentance brings to our life. Repentance is a change in direction. In what direction is the Lord leading you? What is He asking you to do? Only you know that. Only you know that. Four is that we must learn from our defeats in order to have victory. We can't get all mopey-dopey and keep looking back because we can beat ourselves up. But we got to make that memorial. Bury that under a pile of rocks because God can give us the victory. Amen? Well, why don't we stand up and we'll have the worship team come up. We'll have the prayer team come up here in a second. And here's an opportunity. Don't leave this day the way you came in. If the Lord is talking to you, if He's bringing correction into your life, it's because He loves you. He wants you to get your life straight. Jesus, we thank You for this evening, Lord. We thank You that we can look to the Old Testament, Lord, and see these great battles that took place. Many lessons to be learned. Lord, the battle does belong to You. But we need to line ourselves up with You. And sometimes it's the sin in our life that just impedes that. Help us, Lord, to recognize it for what it is. Help us, Lord, to follow Your will, not our will. Lord, we just want to surrender to You this evening. You know exactly where we're at and what we're going through. If there's unconfessed sin, Lord, may it be dealt with this evening. Lord, we want to honor You, and Lord, the last thing we want to do is hurt those that we love, Lord. Help us to get our lives right. We just surrender unto You. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name.